Not those lions. Three lions we can get behind.
And he hoofed it.
There's more pressure being ratcheted up with a loss like that, of course.
Just getting the head boxed off, should that just kind of happen.
For all your Lions coverage this summer, download the OTB Sports app.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetsetGo. Quick start car insurance that's ready when you are. Sort your policy anytime online at GetsetGo.ie.
Paddy Andrews is with us on the line from the Football Pod with Paddy and Andy. How are you getting, Paddy?
Good, Nathan. How are you?
I'm not too bad. So Mayo through to the All-Ireland semi-finals once again. Kerry are there also. We might start in Kerry first. 422-19. 22-point gap between themselves and Cork. Their biggest ever win over Cork in a Munster final. Quarter of the way into the game, it looked as though it was going to be a hell of a lot tighter than that. What changed for Kerry a quarter of the way into that game that they ran out such convincing winners?
Yeah, that was a surprising thing, I suppose. Look, we touched it on last week's pod. Like, we expected Kerry to win this game comfortably. There was obviously, mentally, there was a big challenge for them after slipping up last year against Cork. And you could see the intensity and the hunger they've played with throughout the season to get a shot at Cork and get that Munster title back. But you're right, the first quarter was anything but what we expected. Cork got off to a flyer. And I suppose if you're an opponent looking at Kerry, people are going to look and go, what did Cork do in that first quarter that caused them trouble? And Brian Hurley was causing Jason Foley all sorts of problems. And Jason Foley's been probably one of Kerry's best defenders to date. They were struggling there. They had a couple of goal chances, which, look, all season they've been so, so clinical with Sean O'Shea and, God forbid, David Clifford for once was kind of off. And you thought, is this another upset? Surely not, that they're not going to slip up again. But what they did over the next 45 minutes was, and to be honest, quite similar to what we've seen in the previous game with Mayo and Galway. They just completely dominated Cork from that point on. They pushed up. Cork's kickouts, I thought, were an issue all day with Micheál Martin and then Mark White in the second half. Kerry, you could see they had four guys in the full forward line, four guys in the half forward line. They were going after the Cork kickout, and that was the real base of them. And then all of a sudden, Sean O'Shea starts to kick into gear. Paddy Clifford had another massive game for Kerry. He's been a real, real standout all through the National League. And even with David Clifford being a little bit off for probably the first time in God knows how long, I just think their athleticism, their energy, and like I say, once their forward unit started kicking into gear, they completely blew Cork away over that second half. And again, it's another warning from Kerry, and they've put out a few of them over the last two or three weeks. So look, they looked really impressive. But Cork, despite a pretty decent opening quarter, they just completely ran out of steam. And they were just shut down all over the pitch in the second half.
It's interesting you mentioned running out of steam, because in all the Kerry post-match interviews that I've been listening to, they've mentioned their fitness and how even talking ahead of the game to put the trust in their fitness and the work that they have done over the last few months, that they sensed actually that they were a far fitter team than Cork, which is a lot of confidence and something that's quite difficult to know until you're actually out in a real hot day in Fitzgerald Stadium. Do you look at this Kerry team and actually think they are a lot fitter than where they were 12 months ago?
Oh, I think you can definitely see it in their conditioning. You look at the body shape of some of the players over the lockdown, like you say, Clifford, Sean O'Shea and these guys, Tom O'Sullivan, they've come back. They're a hell of a lot stronger. And you can definitely see it in the style they play. You look at the last 20 minutes. And to be fair, this was the bench coming in as well, guys like Killian Spillane, Adrian Spillane, Tommy Walsh. Kerry were 75 minutes on the clock. They were still bursting forward. They were just taking the ball off Cork and then attacking in waves. And I think you're going to see this over the next couple of weeks when you get down to the real top teams in the All-Ireland semi-finals. The athleticism these teams have and the conditioning that they have in the bank. We've seen it with Tyrone beating Donegal last week. Now, I know Donegal were down to 14 men, but Tyrone ran them off the pitch. Donegal were out on their feet. We've seen it in Croke Park yesterday. Like, Mayo, from an athletic point of view, completely overran Galway. And the same were carried out to Cork yesterday. If you're going to be one of the top contenders and you're going to get into Croke Park and you're going to beat the likes of Dublin, you have to have serious athleticism all over the pitch. And without a doubt, you can see Kerry have improved in that regard, 100%.
I'd say there's a lot of people with Footballer of the Year betting slips that are maybe trying to change the D into a P, Clifford, because Paddy has been unbelievable this season. We'll get on to David and maybe why he had one of his quieter days, but like, so much of the focus on Kerry attack-wise has been focused on David Clifford and Seanie O'Shea. Like, Paddy Clifford seems to have brought a bit of a dog to that forward line as well.
Oh, without a doubt, it's his game awareness, his intelligence on the ball. he just seems to make the right decision all the time. And the possession counts he gets, he's just a huge link player for Kerry. And we touched on it. The very first pod we did at start here, we're asking, you know, why did Kerry underperform against Cork last year and what areas did they need to improve in for the season? And was finding balance in that forward line and not just relying on David Clifford magic or Sean O'Shea magic. Yes, of course, those two players can do that. But they needed guys like Darren Moyne has been injured the last couple of weeks. But he was providing. But Paddy Clifford has been a huge, huge find for him this year. He kicks two or three scores himself every game. But it's just his movement, his energy on the ball. He allows Kerry to transition the ball up the pitch really quickly, whether it's him carrying it himself or he's receiving kick passes from the half-back line or from David Moran. He's just integral to what they do. And if you're looking with a lens, I suppose, into an All-Ireland semi-final, I expect Tyrone to win on Saturday and win the Ulster Championship and play Kerry in a semi-final. Teams are going to have to start man-marking Paddy Clifford. The obvious one is trying to shut down Clifford, and look, it was incredible what Sean Meehan did yesterday under serious pressure. But like, you got to have a plan for Paddy Clifford because he is the glue that he's providing the bullets to the two guys inside.
Yeah.
Each game, he just seems to improve more and more and more. And you're right, he's absolutely one of the key players for Kerry and everything good they've done so far this season.
It's a lot of players you're looking at man-marking, though, now if you're going up against this Kerry forward line, because obviously you're going to have at least one on David Clifford. Like, it felt as though maybe Cork, in a way, yesterday wasted Sean Powder by having him on Sean O'Shea. So you need to manage Sean O'Shea and the two Cliffords. There's not many defences who can do that and keep on top of everyone else.
And look, that's the challenge, and that's why, like I say, Kerry were, in my opinion, were overly reliant on Clifford as it was. Bear in mind, like, Paul Geaney was a lot sharper yesterday, got back on the score sheet. I know he's been playing a little bit further up the pitch, but look, we had the luxury, I suppose, with Dublin for years that you want to have four or five forwards that can be matchmakers. And that's, Kerry have developed that. And like I say, you've guys coming in off the bench so, so hungry. Like, Killian Spillane comes on, he's getting a diving block in his own 13-yard line. Like, you can just see these guys are hungry for game time. They were hurt by last year as well. And look, for me, they've been unbelievably impressive throughout the National League and what they've done in the Munster Championship so far. And look, that's the challenge for teams. If you're going to win the All-Ireland, and if you're Mayo or Tyrone or Kildare at the weekend and you're trying to take out one of the big teams, you need to be able to deal with four or five really dangerous forwards. And you're right, not many teams can. Not many teams can do that. And that's why Kerry are... they're right up there, you know, as one of the favourites for this year's All-Ireland. There's no doubt about that.
Is that ruthlessness that we saw from Kerry yesterday reminiscent of Dublin in recent times?
Look, I think it was. Once they got a sense in the second half, they just obliterated them. And you could definitely sense, look, Kerry were fuming what happened last year. They never should have lost that game to Cork. There was a bit of complacency from the coaches in terms of their team selection, from the players themselves on the pitch. They wasted a year, really. You know, they should never have been in a position to lose that game to Cork last year. And what they've done so far this season, you can see it. You can see it in their energy. You see it when they score goals and they're out there celebrating. You see it in their intensity when they're trying to chase down guys and win kickouts. There's a real, real hunger for that Kerry team. And to be honest, there should be. Of course there should be. They haven't won in All-Ireland. They were very close in 19. They blew it last year. You get the sense that there's real unfinished business. And, you know, Peter Keane's been there a couple of years now. Guys like Clifford and Sean O'Shea, they've developed into the leaders in that team. They are desperate to win in All-Ireland. And you can see it in the way they play, the way they defended yesterday, top Ryan O'Buglock. Did a brilliant job. He just completely shut down Brian Hurley, who was causing trouble. And there are probably question marks you would have had with Kerry. You know, if you're looking, where's the weakness? Possibly in the full back line and definitely in the first quarter. You got a sense of that. But you can see in their attitude, like you say, their intensity, their physicality, their athleticism, matched with the quality of players they have. Look, without a doubt, they're up there, right up there with Dublin, I'd say, as favourites for All-Ireland. And everyone knows that. They're proving it every time they go out on the pitch.
David Clifford's performance then yesterday ends up with just the 1 point, but he was involved throughout the game and was such an important link player for Kerry. But is there anything that defenders, the Tyrone defenders, Dublin Mayo defenders can learn from what Sean Meehan did yesterday and his performance on David Clifford?
No, look, it was one of those days for David Clifford. Like I say, he had a goal chance that you would have put your house on him at the beginning and kind of shoot straight at Meehan Martin. You could see probably in the second half, he was frustrated himself. You could see Kerry are racking up big scores, and the ball just wasn't dropping for him. He just turned over a couple of times. He had a couple of opportunities, but that was just one of those days. And I suppose the hope for all the other teams is that it can happen, because it's so rare to see that. Even David Clifford on a bad day, you'd still expect him to score 4 or 5 points from play. So I wouldn't be reading too much into that. That was just, you wouldn't be surprised he went out in Roller in semi-final and scored 1-6 or 1-7, you know. So it was just one of those days, but fair play to Sean Meehan, because it was a brilliant performance by him. Like I say, when Cork were being overrun all over the pitch, his head didn't drop, and you know, he did a fantastic job, so that should be noted. But for Clifford, look, he'll dust himself off. Just one of those days at the office, I would not be worried about him whatsoever in terms of his form going into an All-Ireland semi-final.
All right, so it'll be Tyrone or Monaghan for Kerry in that All-Ireland semi-final. In the other semi-final, it'll be Mayo against either Dublin or Kildare. This was a heck of a turnaround for Mayo, who looked like a bit of a busted flush at halftime. There were no signs that this second-half performance was coming. Was this a resurgent Mayo, or was it a Galway collapse?
I give huge credit to Mayo. I think that second half performance was everything good you'd expect from the James Horan Mayo team over the past decade. We're talking about Kerry's athleticism. Mayo just completely, they smothered Galway. They bullied them off the pitch in the second half. And you're right, in the first half, the worry you had for Mayo without Killian O'Connor was that, are they going to be able to score enough against the top teams? Like, the first two games of the championship were not events. This was their first proper test. And you got the sense that they were struggling for leadership up front. You know, there were a couple of bad wides. Tommy Conroy, Ryan O'Donoghue, even Lee Keegan and guys like that, experienced players. And that's the accusation you'd have against Mayo, particularly without Killian O'Connor, is can they score against the top teams? Are they going to be able to get enough on the board? And on the flip side, Shane Walsh was kicking into gear for Galway, and he's so important for them. We touched on it last week, talking about Daniel Flynn and what he does for Kildare. There are certain players that just have X factor, and Shane Walsh has that. He turns it on, scores a goal himself, and has a brilliant, like, he burns Paddy Durkin for the second goal for Damien Comer. Not many players can do that. And at that point, you're right, Mayo were 5 points down, and you're thinking, is this the end of the road for them? But their second half performance was everything you'd expect from Mayo at their best. Their athleticism all over the pitch. They just steamrolled Galway. Only Kevin McLaughlin coming on. Matthew O'Rahan put in one of the best performances from midfielder I've seen in a long, long time. And to be fair, Pádraig Joyce's comments after the game, like, he knew what to expect. You know, and from our experience of playing against Mayo and Dublin, you have to match their runners from deep. If you let them get ahead of steam up, and they've runners like Oisin Mullen, Lee Keegan and these guys, Matthew O'Rahan coming from deep, you have to be able to stop them. And Galway just could not live with that in the second half. It was a complete obliteration. Like, Mayo won by 6 points in the end. They had 2 or 3 extra goal chances, which could have made it even more. It was a brilliant second half performance. And
should Galway not be at a stage, Paddy? Should Galway not be at a stage where they can deal with that now?
Oh, I think they should, to be honest. And Pádraig Joyce is there 2 years now. And like I said, Galway have really good players. They've always had talented players. Damien Comer, Shane Walsh, Peter Cook, Paul Conroy, Matty Tierney's a brilliant five from. So you're thinking they have the nucleus of a really, really good team.
And in that first half, you're looking at them thinking, like, they have the firepower that could probably cause Dublin some serious issues in an All-Ireland semi-final. And then from that to as flat a third quarter as you'll ever see.
That's the challenge for Galway. And that's what Pádraig Joyce is trying to do. He must be tearing his hair up. There is no consistency in their play. There's not. Through last year's National League and the College Championship, through this year's National League and College Championship, like, they lose their first game in the National League by over 20 points to Kerry. Then they become a lot more solid. They should beat Monaghan up in Clonus in that relegation game. And just through inexperience, game management, just a total brain freeze down the stretch, they end up getting relegated to Division 2. Then they beat Roscommon in the championship. You're thinking, like, they're bounced back again. But this was a huge game for Pádraig Joyce and for Galway. And they're talking about, can we be one of the top Division 1 teams? Can we win the Connacht Championship? Can we get back to the top table? And they're just so inconsistent. Like you say, in the space of 2 halves, they're really on top of Mayo. You think, right, Galway have arrived. And their second half, they just had no answers. Like, if you look, there's a couple of plays towards the end in the last 10 minutes. Paul Conroy, Peter Cook, they end up just aimlessly kicking the ball 50 yards wide, trying to find a kick pass, because they just ran out of ideas. They had no answer for Mayo's Mayo bullied them in the second half. They pushed up on Conor Gleeson's kickouts. They started taking the ball off them in contact, and Mayo just flooded forward. and Galway through maybe inexperience, but definitely through conditioning as well. But you'd have to ask questions there. They had no answers to Mayo's physicality. You're thinking, where do they go from here? Like, that's a bad year for Galway to be relegated to Division Two and like I say, be really wiped in the Connacht final. They have a hard winter ahead of them, power with Joyce, to try and see how can we turn that around. Because, like, you're right, they do have really good players, but the physicality, the athleticism, and just the experience, they just have not got that.
Yeah, it's been a tough year since football restarted. You even think back to last year's league campaign and the beating that Mayo handed out to them. There's not many top-flight teams who are losing games in the manner that Galway have over the last while. The build-up to the semi-final, from Mayo point of view, again, there'll be a lot of talk about Aidan O'Shea and where he should play. Because in the second half, when they put him in right inside, you saw the impact within 2 minutes, wins that ball, Matty Ryan gets the penalty. Hey, do you just accept that Aidan O'Shea is going to have a roving role, and when you can utilise him inside, you use him there, but at times maybe actually you need him a bit further out the pitch?
100%. That's always, we said it would be the big challenge when Killian O'Connor was injured, that it may force James Horan's hand a bit to play him inside. Like, I think, to be honest, he's probably been doing that for years. He's been mixing between midfield and going inside. He's a handful wherever he plays. They'd love to have two Aidan O'Shea's and have one in the middle and have one on the edge of the square. I think, look, if they play Dublin, Ucadern and Aller in semi-final, you will expect to see Aidan O'Shea inside at times. They do need him around the middle as well, you know, particularly in that first half. You know, he's a brilliant defender. He's a brilliant tackler in terms of dispossessions and things like that. He is important for Mayo to have out around there. But you're right, he causes havoc when he goes inside. And that was a big turning point. It wasn't just Aidan O'Shea. I thought the substitution James Horan made, and like I said, just the attitude of Mayo in the second half, they just steamrolled Galway. But definitely his role of going inside, obviously for the penalty, he'll cause havoc. But I don't think Mayo had the luxury of playing him there for the entire game. I think they'll lead him out around the middle of the pitch, whether they play Dublin or Kildare. And that's what James Horan's just going to have to decide that, how the game is going. And particularly, like, if they play Dublin, for example, say, is Dublin's full back line, is that an area where you can get at them? And I'd 100% expect to see Aidan O'Shea in there at some point. But he's just going to have to play a roving role because they don't have the depth to play him inside for a whole game.
Yesterday did feel like a big win for this group of Mayo players because there's been a lot of transition. You think back to the 2017 All-Ireland final. I think only three of the Mayo team that started that day started yesterday. So, like, the team that we grew up watching over the last decade has sort of been dismantled. They, much like the Dubs, most of them are gone at this stage. So for Matty Ruan and a Páidir Ó Thuaire, like yesterday, for them to come to Croke Park and deliver massive performances, the transition is probably coming to an end now for Mayo.
Yeah, and you have to give credit to James Horan there. Like, Mayo were in the All-Ireland final last year, and you could say they were a team in transition. They're still at the top table for over a decade. And you're right, like, Jim Gavin gets praised to the hilt, obviously, for the success he had with Dublin and the consistency while changing the team every year. Like I say, that's the hardest thing for a coach to do, is that when your great players are coming to the end, that you can take them out, put in young guys, and keep the show on the road. And James Horan is doing a phenomenal job in that regard. As you may have got to the All-Ireland final last year when no one really expected them to. They've had a huge turnover in personnel. You know, 7-8 guys, key leaders are gone. But for me, they're still at the top table. You can see that. They steamroll Division 2. Croke Park suits them. It suits their style of play. And you've guys like, exactly, O'Hara was phenomenal yesterday. Oisín Mullan has come in. He's nearly like a Keith Higgins role now, leading that defence and breaking forward. Matty Ruan is like, yeah, I'd love to see Dublin play Mayo because the battle between him and Brian Fenton will be spectacular to watch. And they still have Aidan O'Shea and looks like Killian O'Connor before we get injured, kind of leading that forward line. But guys like Ryan O'Donoghue and Tommy Connery, these are all young players coming through and they're keeping the show on the road for Mayo. They're keeping them at the top table, even though you could say they're in transition. And that's the brilliant, brilliant job that James Horan has done there. And yesterday, you're right, for young players to come in, to get a big win in Croke Park, you know, Mayo don't have a lot of success in big games in Croke Park. So that was a big second half for them there. And they'll take huge confidence. They absolutely will. Like I say, whether it's Dublin, whether it's Kildare, James Horan will have those guys ready. And that's it's been huge progress despite the turnover players.
we saw in last year's All-Ireland final, those dastardly Dubs, Paddy, what they were trying to do to Mayo at halftime in the tunnel. And then Galway tried the same thing on poor old innocent Mayo yesterday. Do you think that was that anything to do with it? Was that the spark that Mayo needed?
I don't know. I suppose you look in the second
half. Were you in the tunnel last year? Were you in Croke
Park?
No,
I stay away from all that stuff, Nathan. I'd be no use in a row anyway. So
come on.
Leave that to Philly McMahon and the lad. No, look, to be honest, I don't think it has a huge impact at all. You could point and say, was that a bit of fire for Mayo? I think it was more just their attitude and their style of play in the second half. These things happen quite a lot in games, and look, I don't think they would have had a huge influence on it. I just think that the personnel, like say the two McLaughlins coming on, brought that energy to it. They just pushed up on Conor Gleeson's kickouts and they just started dominating the game that way. I wouldn't be overly worried about a row and that sort of thing. So.
You've loads of time to preview next weekend's games on the Football Pod, which is coming your way tomorrow. But looking at Dublin very briefly, like I can't remember a time it has been so much talk on the outside around Dublin, whether it's Cluxton, all sorts of rumours going around about rows inside the camp. They've obviously been a struggle over the first couple of Leinster games. Do you think still, even with all the experience that's gone, that inside the camp they're remaining relatively calm?
Oh, I've no doubt about that. Like, that's Dublin, it's one of the biggest strengths over the last number of years, that they don't really get caught up in anything that's going on. And we touched it on the pod a couple of weeks ago when the news about Stephen broke, that yes, inevitably because it's Stephen Cluxton or Keane O'Sullivan retires or Eric Clowns and these guys go, people outside the camp will talk about that, but inside, Dublin will totally focus on, they're too experienced not to. You know, Vesey Farrell's been around the block, that they still have a lot of huge players with experience there. James McCarthy, Fenton, Kenny. They won't be getting carried away or worried about any external stuff. What they will be focusing on is, okay, we weren't really at our best against Wexford. Our second half against Meath, again, we weren't at our best. That's where the focus will be on for a performance on Sunday. The big thing is what Dublin supporters are hoping to see is, who have we got back from injury? You know, you're essentially the whole half-back line is missing with John Small, Owen Merchant, Robbie McDade. That brings a huge solidity and steel to that Dublin defence, which is maybe, certainly was missing probably in the third quarter where Meade got a run on them. So that would be interesting to see where they're at in that regard. And I suppose they haven't been at their best, but they're still winning the games relatively comfortably. But you're looking at what Mayo did yesterday. That was a statement in the second half. Tyrone, that was a statement against Donegal. And Kerry, every time they're taking to the pitch, they're blowing teams away. So people are waiting for Dublin to kick into gear. Because you're right, if they're not at their best and they're a little bit sloppy in games, people are going to focus on that. You know, but why is that happening? Is the turnover of players? Is Stephen not being there? Are Dublin vulnerable? I don't think so, and I don't think that's where their head is going to be at. It's going to be focused on performing against Kildare. But it will be important to see. They're going to need some of those key defenders back as the championship kicks into gear as well.
Paddy, great stuff. Episode 12 of the Football Pod with Paddy and Andy will be with you from tomorrow morning. I'm told this is the one where Paddy will finally give the exclusive on Stephen Cluxton's future. Maybe Cluxton himself might be on the podcast for the
special guest,
retirement interview.
Maybe, yeah. You have
that
to
is what we want. That tune in and see. So that is coming your way tomorrow morning. It'll be available exclusively first on the OTB Sports app. So if you want to get it before everybody else, make sure you have the OTB Sports app. It is free right now in your app store. Subscribe to the Football Pod in its own feed or in the OTB GAA feed. Brilliant stuff, as always, over the past 11 weeks from Paddy, Andy and Tommy. Paddy, great stuff. We'll talk to you soon. Look forward to listening.
Take it easy, Nathan. Bye-bye.
And if you're already subscribed to OTB GAA, you'll know that we have lots of reaction from the weekend's GAA in there. And Michael Meehan was in Croke Park alongside Tommy yesterday for the Connacht final. Here he is on Aidan O'Shea's role.
Nah, not those Lions. Three Lions we can get behind.
And he hoofed it.
There's more pressure being ratcheted up with a loss like that, of course.
Just getting the head boxed off, should that just kind of happen?
For all your Lions coverage this summer, download the OTB Sports app.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetsetGo. Quickstart car insurance that's ready when you are. Sort your policy anytime online at GetsetGo.ie.